right, Thursday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Let me say it to everybody in the chat. Sheila K is on. And, Nick GLYH is on. Wendell Lovett is on. Dave Souter is on. Hassle Free TV is on. Temi L. Margreter is on. SCWA Ratcliffe 1965 is on. Prayer Works 2 is on. Hanslick Donovic is on. Pitrock 68 is on. Lisa Maurer is on. Jim Kohler is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. Aaron Yeager is on. Judy Anita is on. Veronica 18201 is on. 23 Justin Blake is on. Waterline 46 is on. Aphrodites is on. Stephen Toms is on. My Broken Heart is on. Rafa 9821 is on. Michelle Tile is on. Will Gilbert 2 is on. Kep Guy 1 is on. Sun Wu 45 is on. Alpha Acres is on. Temel T Bird is on. Mike Griffith is on. Gritterdom is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. Leon Fish Puppy, she is on. Buckeye Nut 1968 is on. Lisa Kinzer 11960 is on. Jack and Daisy are on. Itsua 99 is on. Wilbur's Bud 1 is on. Swethy is on. Bud Dave is on. Hanslick Donovan is on. Let me see if anybody I missed. Jana Jones is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Alpha Acres is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Man 26 is on. Order in the Court is on. Appreciate you guys. Love you. Hope everybody's doing good. We have another major revision. Go ahead and put that first one up for me, Will. Major revision going on again. Now, remember, I want to, I'll read it to you and then we'll talk about it. Dinesh D'Souza tweet, FBI revises violent crime data after Dems claim crime is down. Now, I want to remind everybody of about a month ago, 6 weeks to a month ago, somewhere in there, that we had the Biden administration revise their job numbers down. Remember that? Where they said that they had created over 1 million jobs, and it was revised just down a little bit. It was revised down just a smidge. Remember, just a little bit down. They said they created 1 million jobs, and it turned out that they were off by 813,000. So they revised it down to where, you know, they said they created 1 million jobs, and they actually created, 187,000 jobs. 187,000 jobs. That's all they missed it by. They really created 187,000 jobs in 9 months, but they said that they had created over 1 million jobs. Everything you hear is a lie. That's where I miss cussing, because you know the word I'd like to use. Every single thing you hear coming out of the Biden administration is a bold-faced lie. Everything you come in here coming out of the Democratic Party and the Uniparty, which includes the McConnells of the world and the Romneys of the world, the people like that, are all bold-faced lies. So now the FBI, though, is revised. Remember, we've been hearing that we are supposed to deny what we see with our eyes. All of us see the crime going through the roof. Every last one of us sees the crime going through the roof. Some of you live in more crime-ridden areas than others, but everybody sees the crime going through the roof. And the Biden administration keeps going up to podiums, whether it's Karine Jean-Pierre or John Kirby or Biden or Harris. They go up to podiums and say, crime is down. The economy is great. So defy everything that your eyes are seeing. Defy and deny everything that your eyes are seeing. And just agree with them. That's what a Democrat's doing right now. I mean, Democrats who are paying 30 to 40% more in every area of life. And by the way, that is a moderate assessment, because some things are up over 100%, whether it's electrical, whether it's housing, whether it's rent. Many of them are up 30, 60, 70, 80%. And Democrats who are being bankrupted are voting for the people bankrupting them, because they're going to go ahead and agree to deny what their eyes tell them, what their own experiences are telling them, and believing what the idiots from some podium like Harris, like Biden, like Karine Jean-Pierre, like John Kirby, like Pete Buttigieg, or anybody else you want to name, Alejandro Mayorkas, they just go ahead and believe what these idiots tell them instead of actually believing what their eyes and their experiences are telling them. You know when you go to the grocery store now, or you go to the gas pump now, you're paying 30 to 40, 50, 60% more. You know you can't afford to buy a house. You could under the Trump administration, and you can't under the Biden administration, and you're going to vote for another Biden administration? I mean, it truly amazes me to watch people saw off the branch that they're sitting on to vote for their own demise. It's the same thing here with the crime stats. So we've been hearing now for, I don't know, since the campaign began, that crime is going down. And all of us see what's going on around the globe, but it really is around the globe. But around the United States of America, crime certainly is not going down. This is from a D.C. Inquirer article. You can see at the bottom there. That's where Dinesh D'Souza got his data from. The Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, or the Federal Bureau of Instigation, quietly, I wonder why they quietly do it. I wonder why they quietly revise. Why don't they call a news conference? Because everyone practicing evil hates light, does not come to light, lest their deeds be exposed. They don't want their deeds to be exposed, so they do it quietly. Quietly revised this national crime data from 2022, showing that violent crime actually increased instead of decreased as initially reported, according to Real Clear Investigations. The FBI UCR Uniform Crime Report initially showed a slight 2.1% decrease in violent crime in 2021 and 2022, where you had the Biden administration claiming that violent crime was going down. Now, I want to mark a little mark here so I know right where I'm at. I want to remind everybody again, if you watch this podcast, you know what I'm about to tell you. We know why they can claim that. This just shows you how bad crime really is. I'm going to show you. We know why they can sort of marginally claim that crime has gone down, because Biden made a little rule in 2021. Just remember when he was allocating the $8 billion for internet hookups, the $42 million for internet hookups that were never done. There's not been one house that's been hooked up. Remember that? The $8 billion for electric car charging stations, and 7 of them have been built. The same year, 2021, Biden put out, now this one here actually took hold, you know, took root. He put out to the FBI that police agencies, that includes all police agencies and sheriff's offices, no longer have to report their crime to the UCR. So whenever a crime happens in any jurisdiction, Joe Biden changed the rules so that that jurisdiction does not have to report their crime to the UCR. Now, that's a change that has never happened before. Why would he do that? Because he knew that he was going to cause crime to go up at an exponential rate, and he wanted to be able to claim that crime was going down. I know this gets a little deep, but he wants crime to go up so he can confiscate firearms. If he doesn't prosecute gun crimes and the gun crime rate goes through the roof, he's going to use that as a precipice to come and confiscate lawful gun owners' guns. That's the point behind it all, is to defang the tiger, which is you and I. So Joe Biden made this rule in 2021 that police agencies no longer have to report their crimes to the UCR. I don't mean the crimes they're committing. I hope everybody understands. It gets a little confusing, but the crimes that occur in the jurisdiction. They don't have to report their crime data to the UCR anymore. So 44% of police agencies no longer do. That started in 2021, right when the crime rate allegedly went down. And it didn't go down. We'll go over this in just a minute. But so that's how they can claim that the crime rate was going down. Now, some of the cities that are included in the 44%, that 44%, almost 50% of agencies no longer report their crime. And the FBI has the chutzpah and the audacity, and the Biden administration the same, to come out and say that crime is down. Yeah, crime would go down when it's no longer reported. Would everybody agree? Yeah. If nobody's putting it down on a data sheet, it's the same kind of lying through statistics that they do at the border. Oh, no, we only had, we've cut border, illegal border crossings in half. No, they've counted, they haven't cut them in half. They've stopped counting half of them. That's all that they've done. There's still just as many crossing the border. They just don't bring them across ports of entry. They just don't bring them across. They don't allow them to, like, quote unquote, illegally cross. They just load them up before they illegally cross, drive them to a port of entry, give them a Social Security card, and then let them into our country unvetted. We have no idea who they are, into the country with a 7-year notice to appear. That's what's actually happening. Then they claim they cut it in half, just like they always claim. Isn't it funny? And I've had Aaron put up the debt clock before. You ever watch the debt clock? And every single politician goes up there and says that they are decreasing the debt and the deficit. And this is a debt clock. And they never are actually decreasing the debt or the deficit. They're cutting its rate of increase. So instead of increasing 40% this year, it's increasing only 38.9% this year. And as that thing continues to spin out of control, you have clowns and idiots like Kamala Harris and Joe Biden get up and say they're cutting the debt and deficit. So back to the crime, back to the FBI crime revision. The Uniform Crime Report initially showing a slight 2.1% decrease in violent crime in 20 and 22. However, the revision, which was only briefly mentioned on its website, I guess it's mentioned and then taken down, shows an increase in violent crime of 4.5%, according to the RCI. The revision comes after the release of the 2023 UCR data in September, which showed a 3% decrease in national violent crime, according to the FBI press report. Now, how many of us want to bet? We all like to bet on the time that I'll finish the show. I'm going with 10:13 tonight. Going with a new number, 10:13. Now, how much you want to bet, since they're showing a decrease in crime of last year, how much you want to bet that's going to be, quote, unquote, revised? Just like everything else. And what's really amazing here is that they actually had crime go up. Get this now. Crime go up 4.5% when 44% of agencies are not reporting their crime data to them. Imagine. So in that, 56% of agencies that are reporting it, their crime went up 4.5%. 44%, imagine what it really is. What it really is crime has gone up about 50%, about 48%. Would everybody agree that's pretty much what we're seeing?
Yeah.
That is pretty much what we're seeing. It's gone up over 40%. That's the true numbers, because 44% of police agencies aren't even reporting their crime data to the UCR, and crime still went up 4.5%. And some of those agencies that are not reporting are Miami, New York, Los Angeles, Philadelphia. They're not reporting their data. You don't think crime's gone through the roof there as they're dumping off illegal aliens? I'm trying to remember exactly what the data was coming out of Brooklyn, New York, where it was 75% basically of their robberies, of their vehicle, of their felonies, whatever it was, were committed by illegal aliens. What is the crime rate really like? So that it really has gone up that much, the same 4.5%. And a lot of people are forgetting that 44% of police agencies are not even reporting their crime to the UCR, and crime rates still went up 4.5%. Just wait till we actually find out if Trump has the courage to do it, which I believe that he will, and he goes into the FBI and he puts, you know, Mike Davis in charge of the FBI, or Cass Patel, or Mike Flynn in charge of the FBI, people like that in charge of the FBI. If we really go and we start breaking down these numbers, how far crime has actually gone up under the Biden administration, somewhere between 40 and 50%, it's gone up at least. All right, go to the next one for me, Will. So here's some of the stats. Libs of TikTok tweet, more stats. Breaking, the FBI just quietly updated their crime data for 2022. Turns out it was missing thousands of crimes. Here's the crimes. It's just a small revision. Just 80,000 more violent crimes than what they reported. And remember, that's still with the 44% missing. Aaron, is this all clear?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure it's clear. The updated data shows there were 80,029 more violent crimes than in 2021. This is a slight increase. And by the way, they went up exponentially in 2021 too. And again, that's without 44% of agencies reporting their crime. There were an additional, just mere 1,700 murders. They just missed them. They just missed them. 7,000. Get this now. As we have two fathers of girls in here, all of us married to women, 7,780 rapes that were missed. How do you miss that? This is what a great agency the FBI is, isn't it? What a great agency. It's almost like it was a giant cover-up, which it was. It's coming out now because you know what the FBI is looking at? Poly Market. And they're looking at Vegas. And they know Trump's going to win this election. Trump is up in Poly Market, but it has a 60% chance of winning. Kamala Harris has a 40% chance of winning. So they're looking at it and they're going, you know what, we better get some of this out now, because if we don't, we could all figuratively burn for it. They just missed a mere 30,459 robberies. Whoops, we just missed it. How do you miss it? And again, 44% of police agencies are not part of this. And a mere 37,091 aggravated assaults. 80,000 more violent crimes than in 2021. 1,700 murders, 8,000 rapes, 33,000 robberies, 37,000 aggravated assaults that the FBI just missed. Now let's look at this. Tom Elliott videos, supercut. It's also Grabian. Election interference. Remember what we've been being told by leftist pundits and by leftist politicians over the last, well, basically since the campaign began, so almost 2 years ago. Play for me, Will.
According to a newly revised FBI stats, violent crime in America has actually gone up, not down, as Democrats claim.
Trying to make people think that crime is up when crime is down under Joe Biden. Now, I don't know how often that gets reported on this network. So if you're watching this at home, do yourself a favor and look up the data.
Crime is down across the country.
Crime is down, Jim. Yeah. This claim is not only not true, it's the opposite of reality. Crime has been falling for 1.5 years plus.
The FBI says overall violent crime is actually coming down in this country.
You're lying, Congressman.
We already know that there is.
The FBI just released data this week that crime is going down.
Oh, my God. Why do you let this man lie on your national television like this?
This is not right.
You're a liar, Congressman.
We have the data. The FBI literally put out data today showing that crime is down. We have to deal in facts here.
Thank you.
Okay? It's clear as day. The FBI put out statistics. The trend line is going down. If you don't believe the FBI, independent people who look at these numbers say the same thing. But the reality is that crime is going down. You don't have to twist the facts.
According to a newly revised FBI stats, violent crime in America has actually gone up, not down, as Democrats claim.
As often as the former president repeats the claim that crime is rising, the facts say it is not.
FBI statistics released today show that crime is dropping. Mr. Trump remains fixated on crime, even imaginary crimes.
We have done the work. We have seen violent crimes go down because of the work that this president and this vice president has done.
Joe Biden inherited a rising high crime country. When Joe Biden passes the baton to Kamala Harris, it's a declining low crime country.
Crime is going down.
Which the FBI just updated the numbers to.
Violent crime rate is at a 50-year low. We're also securing our border.
We see violent crime coming down in this country because of Kamala Harris's leadership.
A huge drop in crime this year. And so the record on crime overall between these two guys, again, isn't even close.
Crime is at the lowest, I think, in many years, according to the latest statistics.
Violent crimes is at a low, 50-year low.
The Republicans and others are pushing the narrative that this data is wrong, that crime is somehow up when it's down. Violent crime has declined significantly over the last few years and appears to be continuing to decline, Andrew.
So, Jeremy, is there a way with just 43 days left to try to counteract the false reports?
But here on Earth One, there is new data statistics from the FBI run by someone Donald Trump appointed to the post. It confirms a clear trajectory all across the country of massively declining violent crimes in America.
You look at crime down, continuing to go down.
Donald Trump is simply lying. Crime is going down.
According to new data from the FBI, overall violent crime dropped from 2022 to 2023.
Tonight, the FBI reporting a dramatic drop in violent crime. The FBI says it's the biggest decline in decades.
And then there's the reality where you have crime way down. I actually began the hour talking a little bit about kind of the dark world that Donald Trump has created for some of his voters. Of course, crime is at lows in across much of the country.
Reports, including a recently released FBI report, shows that violent crime is down nationwide.
So the primetime address with a whiteboard where she's got all of the statistics, all of the data, and she's able to say, look, this is the falling data in terms of crime from the FBI and the Department of Justice. These are actually what we're seeing. She needs to use the data.
This new report from the FBI may play a role in the debate tomorrow. It may play a role in the campaign in general, but regardless of the politics, it is just good news for the country, full stop.
According to a newly revised FBI stats, violent crime in America has actually gone up, not down, as Democrats claim.
All right, bring it back to me. There you go. So here's the list. Pete Buttigieg lied to you. Jim Acosta lied to you. ABC lied to you. CNN lied to you. Jake Tapper lied to you. Anderson Cooper lied to you. Joe Scarborough lied to you. James Carville lied to you. Van Jones lied to you. Biden lied to you. Harris lied to you. MSNBC lied to you. NBC lied to you. Nicole Wallace lied to you. Joy Reid lied to you. Rachel Maddow and numerous others that I don't know their freaking name. Derek, thank you, Aaron. David Muir, one of the hosts or the moderators of the presidential debate. Of course, he lied to you. So there you go. You know, the first debate, where it's now been pretty much shown by a whistleblower at ABC that Kamala Harris got the questions pre-debate. Those people. And I don't mean to be preaching to the choir, because everybody that's watching the show, 872 that I can see, and then the rest that are on Christian Television Network right now, we're pretty much red-pilled. But again, why does anybody listen to these people? Aaron, help me understand.
I don't
understand why anybody would listen to these people. Why do people ever listen? Yeah. And again, what happens is a lot of like Christian conservatives or even just current conservatives, they're like, you know, they don't listen. And then they come up with a carefully crafted narrative that everybody listens to, i.e. COVID. Why would everybody suddenly listen? That's what scares the crap out of me, is that nobody listens. Or, you know, we do a great job. We elect Trump in 2016. Everybody's on the right page. Everybody came together, elected Trump. And then everybody buys into COVID because Pete Buttigieg, Acosta, ABC, CNN, Tapper, Anderson Cooper, Scarborough, Carville, Maddow, Joy Reid, Nicole Wallace, NBC, MSNBC, Biden, Van Jones. They suddenly tell you that something's a threat to your life and everybody believes it. That absolutely just blows my mind. That people suddenly believe in what these idiots tell them because they craft just the right narrative for everybody to believe. It's a threat to your health, and everybody believes it. They tell you all sorts of things are threats to your health. They tell you that speech is a threat to your health. They do. You ask Aaron, why do we get banned off of Facebook all the time? Because we're unsafe. How are we unsafe? How am I unsafe? How exactly am I unsafe? You're unsafe for the community. How are we unsafe? So all they have to do is create a 99.97997% survivable virus in the Wuhan Institute of Virology, unleash it at the World Military Games, and all the conservatives cave to it, and all the Christians cave to it, and close their churches and don three masks and take five injections at the behest of their political oppressors. I don't get it. And again, I'm not talking to the ones that are watching the show right now. Unless it does apply to you, if it applies to you, then repent in Jesus' name. Stop following the ridiculous narrative of the liars. All right, where the heck am I in this show? All right, moving on. What is this, the one on my show? Okay,
Josh, yeah.
Is that, no, Josh, okay, thank you. Thank you, Will. I write my notes and then flip the page. All right, this is just a miscellaneous. That's actually somebody, I can't remember who. Let me see, I can't find it right now. But anyway, appreciate trying to remember who told me on Twitter to look into this. Just so you know, I'd already seen it, but I'm glad you reminded me to look into it. Josh Dunlap video. The Kamala Biden administration has officially imprisoned pro-lifer Beverly Beatty Williams to serve 3 years. 3 years. 3 years in freaking federal prison. For 3 years. For what? Violating the FACE Act. What's the FACE Act? You can't protest in front of an abortion clinic. What's the FACE Act really? It's being enforced as you can't protest in front of an abortion clinic. It's supposed to be that you can't block entrances to abortion clinics, which Beverly was not doing. But again, you're like, well, then she should be found innocent. Who's going to? Let's look at this again, because we haven't done this for a month or two. I want everybody to think out there that's watching this podcast. Who would find her innocent? Seriously. Okay, she gets charged by the FBI for a violation of the FACE Act, prohibiting people from entering abortion clinics, which she did not do. She didn't do it. She was out there simply either handing out pamphlets or singing songs and trying to convince people not to slaughter their children. What a horrid, wretched person she is, right? So she gets charged with violating the FACE Act. But Tom, she did not meet the elements of the crime. Please get this now. From a cop of 25 years, it doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter anymore. Please understand the disintegration of the United States of America and the degradation of our law enforcement system and our judicial system, our court system. Please understand it. It doesn't matter. All you have to have is the right judge and the right prosecutor, and it is over for you. That's why I tell you, don't even travel to a blue state. Don't even go there. Because here's what happened. She didn't meet the elements of the crime, which is preventing people from entering into an abortion clinic. She just stood outside of an abortion clinic doing nothing but trying to dissuade people from going in and slaughtering their kids. But a FBI agent decided, you know what? I'm going to fill out what's called a capious or a probable cause affidavit and say that she committed these crimes. And it goes, so you have a blue FBI agent, a Democratic Party activist FBI agent, and then it has to be approved by his Democratic Party activist supervisor, Democratic Party activist Christopher Wray. Then it goes to Democratic Party activist DOJ Merrick Garland and Lisa Monaco. And then it goes to a Democratic Party activist Tanya Shutkin or any other Democratic Party activist judge, the ones that oversaw Alex Jones's cases, the ones that all oversaw Peter Navarro's cases, the ones that oversaw Steve Bannon's cases, the ones that oversaw Donald Trump's cases and Roger Stone's cases and Michael Flynn's cases. And I could go on and on and on and on. And the myriad of other cases that you've seen, Sidney Powell's cases and all the other ones that you've seen, you're like, somehow or another people be exonerated because it's the United States of America. Explain to me, how will they be exonerated? If you have a corrupt cop fill out the corrupt capious affidavit and it goes to the corrupt judge, and then you pick, the judge is in a blue jurisdiction with a blue jury, blue grand jury, blue appellate court, how are you ever going to be freed? But Tom, the elements of the crime are not there. It'd be like them accusing you of stealing something, but you didn't steal it. It doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter in this country anymore whether you actually committed the crime that you're accused of or not. They bring it to a selective jurisdiction with a selective judge, selective jury, selective grand jury. Just get into a blue area. And all they have to do is tell them that you're a Trump supporter or a pro-lifer like Beverlyn, and you're done. That's where we are. That is a fact. That is the status of our judicial system in the United States of America, and it pains me to say it. As a cop myself, because I believe in local law enforcement. I don't believe in federal law enforcement. The FBI comes to my door, they will get nothing. I won't even open the door. Those scumbag Gestapo brown shirts can kiss my rear end, because this is all they do. Watch this video. Play it for me, Will.
So right now, I'm about to drive my wife to a federal facility. She has to surrender herself there. And this is due to the Harris-Biden administration. And any husband in this country, you know, anyone that's married knows, any mother, any father knows that separation from your loved one, separation from a mother and a daughter at 2 years old is traumatic. And no person, no American citizen should have to experience this in this country. Obama has the audacity to speak to black men and tell black men they need to vote for Kamala Harris when Kamala Harris administration is separating me from my wife and my wife from her daughter at 2 years old for unlawful assembly. My wife is facing 3.5 years for unlawful assembly and federal time, y'all. Okay, federal time. And it's devastating for our family, but we're going to get through this. But I want people to know in this country, mothers, fathers, single mothers, that this cannot be tolerated. And you should not vote for Kamala, because voting for Kamala would do things like this. Right. It's unacceptable. And yeah, that's what I have to say. That's what I have to say regarding the Biden-Harris administration made me a single father. You know, I always envisioned growing up to be married and have my child, and that's what we did. We did things the right way. Even if you don't do things the right way, you don't make a father a single father. You know, you don't do things like that. And for the fact that Obama is going to go lecture black men and tell black men they need to vote for Kamala Harris, and this is what she's doing to black families in this country. She's been doing this even in California, if you look at her record. So Americans, go out and vote, but I encourage y'all, I implore y'all to vote for number 45, Donald Trump.
Cuckoo.
So there you go. And then, you know, so here's the family. What a threat they are. That's, I mean, that's dangerous family right there. 3.5 years. I arrested a guy for in a bar for slicing another guy's throat. And that's exactly what he got. 3.5 years. And she's getting 3.5 years for passing out anti-abortion pamphlets or singing How Great Thou Art in front of an abortion clinic. 3.5 years. That's where we are. And I just want to say this to any Democrat that happens to stumble upon this podcast. And you're like, good, because that fits my political agenda and my fit and my political narrative. Oh, well, really? Well, what about when we spin it on you then? And we decide that, you know what? You say something anti-Trump, you get 5 years in prison. How would you like that? Because you know what? If you can do it, we can do it. If you're going to change the rules, then turnabout is fair play. And some of that needs to occur. We're not going to lie, cheat, and steal, but some of that retribution needs to occur. And the very first thing that Donald Trump needs to do, I mean, the very first thing he needs to do after he takes the oath of office on January 20th, 2025, don't even leave the stage. Have a pardon ready. Have J.D. Vance with a pardon in his hand, hand it right to him and pardon this lady and get her out of prison. And so, you know what's so funny is Democrats are always talking about how they're advocates for the black community. I guarantee you it was probably in a black area that she was an area with black citizens that she was trying to save babies, because Democrats kill 400,000 black babies per year in the womb. That's what they love to do. And they could never allow her to save black people, because we know down deep inside the Democratic Party are all a bunch of Ku Klux Klan racist, because that's exactly where it all began. Ku Klux Klan began in the Democratic Party. Planned Parenthood began with Bill Gates' dad sat on the board of Planned Parenthood. Hillary Clinton loves to butcher the unborn, loves to sing the praises of Margaret Sanger, loves it. Margaret Sanger, a known eugenicist, a known racist who hated the black community, who wanted to abort black children. And now the Democratic Party makes sure that they send a black abortion, a anti-abortion activist to prison for 3.5 years for doing what? What did she do? Let's just say for a moment she did violate the FACE Act and didn't allow somebody in an abortion clinic. You know what? You can get your abortion 10 minutes later then. And even if she did, 3.5 years in prison? 3.5 years in prison? I mean, what's Hunter Biden going to serve? What has Hunter Biden served? Zero. Absolutely nothing. What's Hillary Clinton served? 30,000 deleted emails. Absolutely nothing. And numerous other crimes that we can name with numerous other politicians. What have they served? Absolutely nothing. So let's all make sure we pay attention to this. Let's put pressure on whatever politicians we know to get in Trump's ear and get this lady pardoned in Jesus' mighty name. Let's move on to fraudulent elections. The Vigilant Fox video, something is off about this upcoming election, and it smells like Democrats are planning to steal it. Jesse Waters, play for me.
Today in Georgia, a judge ruled that election officials have to certify results, even if voter fraud is suspected. And around the state, Democrats are suing to prevent drop box surveillance, hand counting ballots, and voter ID protections. Why are Democrats trying to make elections less secure? Especially while many states across the country are finding thousands of people who aren't citizens on the voter rolls. Like in Virginia, where Governor Youngkin removed more than 6,000 non-citizens from the rolls. The Biden-Harris administration didn't like that. The Justice Department is now suing Virginia for cleaning up the voter rolls. Something Virginia governors have been doing for years.
Why is it that anyone could argue that a process that removes non-citizens off of our voter rolls is anything else other than common sense and constitutional? This is a law that's been on our books since 2006. Yep. It was a law that was signed by then Democrat Governor Tim Kaine. This is why I find this to be a very, very unreal moment that is stunning, that they filed this suit 25 days before a presidential election, when in fact this has been going on in accordance with our Constitution, the federal Constitution, and state law since 2006.
It's simple. We just want free and fair elections. Democrats are trying to loosen the rules and get Republicans to certify the results of an election that hasn't happened yet.
So again, I would love any Democrat, you can send it to me. Listen, my DMs are open on Twitter. Send me the virtue behind preventing drop box surveillance. Tell me how is it that that aids in a free and fair election? I mean, I would love to know the virtue behind it. I would love to know the logic behind it. I mean, please just explain to me how it is that it lends to a free and fair election to prevent Dropbox surveillance cameras. I would love that. Because, I mean, what would your argument be? Because some people wouldn't vote if they were surveilled? That would be your argument? Then why are they voting if they're afraid to be surveilled? Because anybody that's afraid to be surveilled would be an illegal voter to begin with. Period. And again, send me the virtue of a judge ruled that election officials, just like Michigan under Jocelyn Benson, their Secretary of State, a judge ruled that the election officials in Georgia have to certify the results even if they suspect voter fraud. So what's the point of having an election official? Why do we have election boards then if they are mandated to certify? And again, if you're a Democrat and you think this is good, wait till it turns around on you. Then we could just say we could just cheat and then certify it, and you force you to certify it by statute. How do you think this is good? I mean, again, it's like forcing you. You think it's good when you mandate speech or you prevent speech because right now it's politically beneficial to you. But wait till it's not. Don't you see how it could turn around and not be beneficial to you? When the other person, when your political opposition is in charge and we ban you from saying anti-Trump things because we call it a threat to democracy? I would love for some Democrat to send me the virtue of a judge mandating that election supervisors who suspect fraud are mandated to certify the election anyway. After we've seen, I mean, remember now, up till 2020, it was perfectly acceptable to challenge an election, to question an election. You know why? You know why Aaron never got upset and Will never got upset and I never got upset and you never got upset with the idiots on Capitol Hill all claiming they wanted false electors. They want what they claim are false electors now. They wanted forensic audits, hanging chads back all the way to the Gore Bush election. They wanted all of those things. They challenged all of those things. And they said, and they still say to this day, Hillary Clinton still to this day says that Donald Trump was fraudulently elected by Russians. So why is she not being charged with insurrection? Why is she not a threat to democracy? But when we say the same thing, that it was a fake, that it was a fraudulent election, when it noticeably was, there's no evidence to support anything Hillary said, but stopping counting in the middle of the night, that in and of itself, definitely, you want it to causation, correlation, whatever you want to call it, definitely indicates fraud when somebody just stops counting in the middle of the night. And then after they stop counting, they don't actually stop counting. Remember, I go to bed at like 3 o'clock in the morning on the day of the election in 2020. I go to bed at 3. I get up at 7. They said they had stopped counting, so I went to bed. I got up at 7. They all kept counting the entire time from 3 to 7 because I went to bed and Donald Trump was up by 680,000 votes in Pennsylvania. I got up. He was up by 1,400. So somebody kept counting. That's a strong indication of fraud. And not to mention all the video evidence, all the ballot evidence and everything else that I'm not going to get into right now. And I'm just going to focus on 2024 for now. Although 2020 still needs to be litigated in court and people need to go to federal prison for it. They need to take the place of Beverly Beatty Williams, take her place in prison. But I would love for somebody to send me the virtue of what a virtue behind forcing election officials to certify an election they know is fraudulent or that they suspect is fraudulent. And then what happens is, if you guess what will happen here, guys? What you think about it. If you do certify it, and the fraud led to a Republican being elected, what will happen to the person who was forced to certify it? They'll be arrested for participating in the fraud. Correct? Just it's the same thing that they did with Trump with the 34 felony counts. He delineates that the Stormy Daniels payment was a personal lawyer expense instead of a campaign expense, and they say it should have been a campaign expense, so they find him guilty of 34 felonies. But if he would have put it down as a campaign expense, they would have found him guilty of 34 felonies because he put it down as a campaign expense. So those foolish election, all the election officials in Georgia that this somehow statutorily dictates to, they need to all resign because you're going to go to prison. You certify an election that you know is fraudulent. Imagine being a judge and telling somebody to commit a crime. Sitting up there on your high horse, sitting up on high above everybody and telling people to commit crimes to certify an election that you know is fraudulent. And so all these people who certify, Democrat, Republican, and you certify an election that you know is fraudulent, they're going to arrest you for fraud. But I was ordered to do it by a judge. Where's that in the statute book? It's nowhere in the statute book. So you're still going to be arrested for it. All right, skip the next one, Will, because I think it's redundant. Go to clandestine for me. Can you do that?
Yep.
All right, awesome. So here's another one. Now, clandestine video alert. They are telegraphing their plan to steal Pennsylvania. We need to be watching Pennsylvania close because Trump's going to win Pennsylvania. They all know that he's going to win Pennsylvania. That's why they're sending Kamala there, that's why they did a last gasp effort with her absolutely career-ending interview with Bret Baier. I mean, you want to talk about career-ending, drinking career suicide Kool-Aid, political suicide Kool-Aid. The worst interview I've ever seen. And man, I've seen some stinkola interviews. I mean, horrendous. I used to hate watching George W. Bush be interviewed, bumbling and stumbling through interviews. Man, she made him look like Albert Einstein. She made him look like a genius because she is so stupid. But anyway, that's why they did it, because they know, and just so everybody knows, Trump wins Pennsylvania. What am I about to say? It's over. He wins Pennsylvania. It's over. They know it. So they're getting ahead of this, like the Transition Integrity Project. Remember that? Great stuff coming out about that right now. I mean, great stuff. I thought about it, but I didn't do it. I may do a slide or two on the Transition Integrity Project from back in 2020, run by like Podesta and other, and Donna Brazile and people like that. But anyway, basically it's the exact opposite. Whatever a Democrat tells you, it's the exact opposite. So it's the Transition Integrity Project is the title of it. So it would be Preventing Transition Through Boldface Lying Project is really the name, really should have been the name of it, because that's what they did. And I'm just thinking of the things that I heard today on it. It may have been on Alex Jones. I think it was on Alex Jones, but I'm not sure. But one of the things that you can find, because it's all coming out now, probably because they're 501c3 or 501c4, so they're forced to release their documents. But it's coming out now that they were actually talking about initiating, they didn't use the word violence, but initiating their Gestapo ground forces, BLM and Antifa, to stop up highways and cause mass confusion. That was part of the Transition Integrity Project. But more on that later, potentially more on that later. So clandestine video, they're telegraphing their steal in Pennsylvania. Here it is, right on 60 Minutes. Play for me.
So in 2020, it took 4 days to call the election in Pennsylvania. What took so long?
When you have half of your voters vote by mail, like we did in 2020, counting those votes takes time.
We saw for ourselves at a ballot intake center in Chester County outside Philadelphia.
So this is the actual envelope, and these where the ballots are returned in.
And this is a sample.
Correct, yeah. Yes.
Elections Administrator Karen Barsoom showed us how each ballot arrives inside two different envelopes.
94 ballots in one tray.
Processing them is a tedious task, which under Pennsylvania law cannot start until 7 a.m. on election day.
So when we do open it, there is another envelope. So hypothetically speaking, if we have 100,000 mail-in ballots, we have to deal with double the amount of envelopes, which is a long process. And then the ballots comes out.
And you can't count it folded like that.
Correct. We will need to have a whole different team unfold them, backfold them, to get the creases out as good as we can.
How long does it take to process each ballot?
Several minutes. It's not like done in a sack.
Several minutes per ballot? There's 12.9 million people live in Pennsylvania, and it takes you several minutes per ballot? Okay, now, I was just looking at King Slutsy McGroin on here. It's hard to say your name without laughing, by the way. I love you. Poll worker, says right here in the chat. Everybody can look at it. It's right on the bottom of the chat right now. Florida poll worker here. We did in a few hours. Absolutely. Florida freaking rocks. Let's compare numbers real quick, shall we? Florida has 23 million people live here. 23 million. We are the third largest state in the union. California, Texas, and we're whooping, this is where I miss cussing, whooping New York's butt now, because now we're the third largest state. They used to be, but everybody left and moved down here. But anyway, 23 million people live here. King Slutsy's counting the votes. We do in a couple. Listen, we know who wins the. We know who wins every election by 10 o'clock at night. 10 o'clock at night, we know. If not before that, pretty much we know before that. I'm being generous. But in the state of Pennsylvania, with half of our population, it takes them 4 days. 4 days. Arizona took them 4 weeks. And they've got like 9 million people. 4 days? Look at this idiot. Play that for me side by side, guys.
We do open it.
Let's find a giant fat woman and have her count ballots. Listen to her.
We have to deal with double the amount of envelopes.
We have to open envelopes. I have to open an envelope.
And you can't count it folded like that.
Correct.
I can't count it folded. Look at what I have to do. I got to fold. I got to unfold it. Then I got to reverse fold it and get out the creases. Oh, wow. How long? She says it takes several minutes per ballot. Then she throws it through a machine. Several minutes, you can bring it back to me. Several minutes? All lies. What they're doing right now is they're being what's called proactive, getting out in front of it so that they can lie about the numbers the night of the election. And it won't be just the night of the election, because we all know Pennsylvania was ground zero of the giant cheat in Pittsburgh and in Philadelphia. The giant cheat inside of the seven cities in the six states. The 42,000 votes that Donald Trump lost by in the... And I'm putting that in quotes, lost by. He won. He absolutely won. You get 74 million votes. Okay, he absolutely trashed Obama's. Obama got like 64 million. Donald Trump gets 74 million votes and loses to Pudding Pop. He loses to, if there's one word that I could use to describe America, it'd be this. That he loses to that guy. That guy gets 81 million votes. We all know. This is, they're getting ahead of it right now. So they can generate votes in the middle of the night and claim it just takes so long to count them. Well, how is it in Florida that we're counting them? How is it in Florida that the election day starts at 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning and we know who won the election with 23 million citizens by 10 o'clock at night and we don't know for 4 days? And you got this fat, turd, moronic woman get up there and start talking, oh, it takes several minutes per ballot. How? Help me, Aaron.
I can't.
Explain it to me. It's just them getting out in front of the cheat.
Yeah.
So they can say, well, we told you it was going to take several days. Why does it take? I never get it. Why do people just, whether you're a leftist or a right winger, why do you accept abject idiocy? You're like, well, this is politically beneficial for me because I'm a leftard. Well, we can play the same games. We just happen to not be liars like you. That is just amazing to me how people will just accept abject idiocy. You know, call that man who's dressed as a woman, who's still clearly a man. Call him a woman. Just accept the abject, asinine idiocy of doing that. Just accept it and do it. Put a mask on your face for a respiratory virus that's 0.006 to 0.14 microns. And an N95 doesn't even start stopping particles until they're three times that size, but put on a mask anyway. And they're doing it again in California. And all the leftards out there are gleefully putting it back on. And all the coward right wingers are putting it back on because they're afraid of the ramifications of not putting it back on. You know what I thought about those ramifications? Shove it up your own rectum. That's what I thought about them. 10 seconds, we're going off of Christian Television Network. They're not banning me, folks. Switch over to Rumble. Switch over Rumble. This is my allotted television time. That's it. 2-1. Bye. There we go. All right, I can just go on and on with this, but I'm going to go on with another one here. So here, I just had to show you this. I don't know why I'm showing you this. I honestly don't know why. I just had to, because Gretchen Whitmer is such a demonic person. I mean, I don't know if I've got... Do I have that on her? No, I didn't do it. Dang it. I may ask Aaron. I may task Aaron with trying to find a video for me. But anyway, you know, Whitmer was just caught basically blaspheming the Catholic Communion. I mean, she just did a whole mockery of it and was caught. But she's so freaking weird. And I just wanted to show you this, and then we'll talk about Michigan. LD Basler video, these people are weird. Here's Whitmer voting. Play for me, Will. Wither Harris Waltz hat on. She mocks all Catholics, and believe me, they showed up. They showed up. And then she votes in her illegal ballot box that I'm sure they statutorily have required no video cameras to be on. So then anybody can just go walk up there with any ballots that they want. And by the way, they mail out like ballots of, they mail out 15 ballots to one household all over the place so that Democratic Party operatives can go and pick up the extras and fill them out and put them in those ballot boxes. And then Donald Trump loses the election in Michigan. So here's the other idiot. So we've already established now you've got a judge in Georgia ordering election workers to certify elections even if they suspect fraud. Well, what are they doing in Michigan under that idiot that we just showed, Wretched Witless? Play for me, Will.
If someone were to violate the law and not certify the election at the local level, we will come for you. So any local certifier thinking of skirting the law and not certifying the vote, don't even think about it because we'll get.
Let me just go rudimentary here for just a minute.
Oh my gosh.
You know, these people who were going to come for you, this is a woman who couldn't run 10 feet. This is a woman who can't do one pull-up or a push-up, and she's going to threaten to come for me. You know why? It's like that TikTok moron that walks around. He shoves people, but he's got this giant bodyguard behind him. So after he shoves these, because he picks like alpha males out in public, and he shoves them, then the guy turns around to front him up, to confront him. And this giant, massive, like, bodyguard sitting right there so the people back down. Same thing here with these people like that's Jocelyn Benson, the Secretary of State. And you got Dana Nassel, which is the AG. And then you got Wretched Witless voting in her illegal voter, these ballot boxes. These aren't illegal, folks. They're Zucker boxes. They're illegal. She goes and votes. And again, she votes. She puts that ballot in a box where I'm sure they've made it illegal to have a video camera looking down on it. So anybody can put them in. But then you have Jocelyn Benson say, if any election worker, even if you suspect fraud, doesn't certify the election, I'm coming for you. She couldn't come for a little kitten. That woman is physically unable to do anything in her life. She's an idiot. And by the way, an absolute criminal. I don't have time to get into it tonight. Since she got, of course, the Presidential Medal of Freedom, probably on the same day that Ruby Freeman and Shea Moss got theirs too, along with Fanon sitting behind him and Aguello sitting behind him and Harry Dunn, of bold-faced, perjurious liars from the D.C. Metro Police and the Capitol Police, liars. But anyway, there was so much. I don't have time to get into it. I can't do it, but so much voter fraud. An FBI case that she said there was a massive case inside of Michigan that she shuttled off to the FBI, and the FBI gave back to her. So they just do the Potomac two-step back and forth. Nobody actually does the investigation. I'm going to pass it to the FBI, and the FBI passes back to her. I'm going to pass it back to the FBI, and the FBI passes it back to her, and nobody gets convicted of any crimes. She's a criminal. She's an absolute criminal, and she's telling people to commit criminal acts because she's a criminal. It's like the FBI. FBI instigates criminal acts because they are criminals. She's telling people, you will certify the election. Well, I'm an election worker. If I think that there's fraud, isn't it a crime for me to participate in the fraud and certify the election? That makes sense, Aaron?
Yeah.
At the backing of the Attorney General, Dana Nassel, she's telling people to commit fraud as the Secretary of State of the state of Michigan. Unbelievable. All right, and wokeness video. CBS is already normalizing fraud. Play for me.
We might think we knew the results of elections a lot sooner in previous elections. We really didn't. It was just the margins were so large that we were able to call the elections earlier. It always takes a long time to count ballots. We're going to see that again, and margins are likely to be tight, so we might need to wait a few days in states like Georgia and elsewhere.
And David, I really don't think we can emphasize enough the way in which each state has different rules for counting, and the result can be somewhat suspicious looking on the surface processes with the count, right? It's not just one. If you got a jar of jelly beans, it's not like one red, one blue, one red, one blue. Sometimes handfuls of results come in at one time, a handful of other results at another time. Could you just talk generally about how we should see the count unfold at that state level?
Right. So we have to remember, and you mentioned this earlier, we run the most complicated elections in the world.
We run the most complicated elections in the world. And we're, again, this is normalizing fraud via normalizing the acceptance of idiocy. That why is it harder now to count ballots than 1960? Don't we have computers? And I'm like, I know the Dominions and all those different machines and all those, but we, if they're actually not connected to the internet, I'm just talking about tabulation machines, not Dominions. But just tabulate. Don't we have that now? And then of course, you just had a judge in Georgia today overrule a lower court judge because the lower court judge had made it law, made it a rule, made it a law, whatever it may be, and all the Democrats are all rejoicing at this and explaining to me the virtue behind that. But the lower court judge had made it a law that you had to have an independent hand count after the machine count. And another judge came in and said, no, we're not going to do that. And all the Democrats are rejoicing. Why are you rejoicing at that? Explain to me the virtue behind rejoicing at that. Explain to me how that makes the election more integral. Explain that to me. I would love to know. You can't, because all you know what you're doing. You're enabling fraud. You know that. You're a fraudster. You're Mark Elias. You're Perkins Coie. You're lying fraudsters. And you commit your fraud and you enable fraud all in the name of free and fair elections. We want everyone to be able to vote. Yeah. You know what? There's some people that aren't supposed to vote. They're called illegals. They're called felons. They're called people that are not United States citizens. They're not supposed to vote. We don't want everybody to vote, and it's not racist to say so because I'm not attaching race to it. So just the idiocy of that video. Everybody just accept idiocy that it's hard to count ballots. How many of you know it's not hard to count ballots? You know, get a vaccine for a 99.997% survival virus. That's idiocy to get a vaccine for that. It's idiocy to do that. Not to mention that, get a vaccine that took us 18 months to develop. It normally takes 18 years. 18 months, 18 years. And you'll have idiots like Peter Hotez come out and say, you know, it normally takes 18 years to you will not get a virus, you will not get a vaccine inside of 15 years. It always takes that long. Always comes out and says it in numerous interviews. And then right after the Pfizer mRNA comes out, he goes, well, no, they developed that in the acceptable time, in the normal time. You just told us the normal time is 15 years, and that was 12 months. And you're like, Tom, that's absolutely incoherence. That's correct. Like, to make it make sense, I can't. They're just liars and frauds and wretched, horrible, demonic human beings. And what back to the election fraud, so they just want you to accept idiocy. How many of you thought that it was hard to count ballots 10 years ago? How many of you would ever have thought you'd see Americans driving alone in their cars with masks on? I mean, how many of you ever thought that you would go to a church that's making everybody sit in COVID clumps 6 feet apart in their lawn chairs that they had to bring to church because the pastor is afraid that COVID is going to be transmitted anus to anus on the church chairs. So you bring in your lawn chairs and you look up at the stage and you see a flute player up there with her mask on with a slit cut in it. How many of you ever thought that you would see Americans embrace this galactic level of idiocy? But that's exactly what they're asking you to accept. Oh, it's hard to count ballots. Really? How many of you have filled out ballots? You're like, it's hard to count that. One, two. There's usually like nine things you vote for. Oh, you got to get. Remember the dingbat fat woman? Oh, this takes several minutes. That takes several minutes. Gosh, you're like, Tom, you're too fired. It fires me. Go to the next one. Well, wherever I'm at, Patrick Webb.
Yes, sir.
Breaking: the DOJ is suing Virginia. for removing non-citizens from his vote. Explain to me that. Oh. The DOJ, which you already heard in Jesse Waters' video, but the DOJ is suing Glenn Youngkin and the state of Virginia, the Commonwealth of Virginia, for removing non-citizens from his voter rolls. Explain that to me. Why is the DOJ suing the Commonwealth of Virginia, the Department of Justice suing Virginia for removing illegal voters off of the voter rolls? Explain that to me, Mark Elias of Perkins Coie. Explain that to me, Democrat. Tell me the virtue behind it. Now, you always hear the Democrats. I don't know why the Republicans are so upset, because, you know, even if Kamala Harris was allowing all these people through the southern border on purpose, they all can't vote. It's all settled law. Oh, really? It's settled law. They can't vote. Even why are you giving them driver's licenses so they can register to vote? Why are you giving them Social Security numbers so they can register to vote with the last four? Why are you doing that? And why is your DOJ suing the state of Virginia, the Commonwealth of Virginia, for removing illegal border invaders, illegal aliens who are on the voter rolls? You just said that we don't even need to think about it because illegals can never vote. Why did they remove 200,000 of them off the Texas rolls then? Why is that exactly? Can you explain that to me? Well, there's 6,000 of them in the state of Virginia that were all voting, and they're being removed. So the illegal aliens who are on the voter rolls were voting. Glenn Youngkin's not allowing them to vote, pulling them off the voter rolls, so they're no longer certified or they're no longer registered voters, so they can't vote. And the DOJ is suing Virginia because Virginia is removing illegal voters off the voter rolls. Somebody explain that. Tell me the virtue behind it. Go to the next one for me, Will. Just wanted to show you this. Q3 Senate FEC numbers. Wondering about the money involved in the elections? Shall we look? This is just Q3. This is quarter three that just passed, right? Montana, you're wondering where... I thought that we were the bourgeois corporate party. Are we the bourgeois corporate party? That's not what the numbers say. In Montana State, you got John Tester, the Democrat, versus Tim Sheehy, the Republican. By the way, John Tester's down by 8 points. That's good. But Sheehy has only spent $9 million, and John Tester spent $32 million. Texas Senate, Colin Allred, I mean, a galactic idiot doofus. I mean, a moron. He spent $30 million. Ted Cruz, the incumbent, $17 million. Ohio Senate, Sherrod Brown, which I believe is slightly losing, is behind a couple points behind Bernie Moreno, has spent three times what Bernie Moreno has spent, $10 million to $30 million. Those are the Democrats. Ruben Gallego, $20 million. To Kerry Lakes, $8 million in Arizona. Michigan, Alyssa Slotkin, what a name. I mean, can you imagine what she was called? Can you imagine what she was called in middle school?
I can imagine.
Alyssa Slotkin, can you imagine? She spent $16 million, and Rogers has announced it. Wisconsin, $13 million versus $11 million. There's not one that Republicans have spent more. Not one. Look at Maryland Senate. Hogan versus also Brooks. Hogan spent $3 million. He's the former governor of the state. He only gets $3 million and some unknown Angela also Brooks, $13 million. Florida Senate right here. Unless you're in Florida, you haven't seen the ridiculous ads by Debbie Mucarsel Powell. What an idiot she is. She spent $12 million, three times what Rick Scott, the incumbent, has spent. That's where the money is, all through Act Blue. And Act Blue needs the people that are running Act Blue need to spend the rest of their lives in federal prison for money laundering. Absolutely, which I don't have time to get into tonight. It's just very, very strange how you have people like James O'Keefe running down Act Blue, and they find a lady and said, did you give $32,000 to the Democratic Party? No, I gave $1,000 3 years ago. Well, it shows here that you gave 2,500 times. And those 2,500 contributions add up to $32,000. Folks, that's money laundering. So that they can say these are all statutorily accepted contributions under campaign finance laws. I mean, it's just obvious. Where's the FEC? Where's the FEC? I mean, seriously, you have a lady who gave 4,600 times. I mean, who's ever given 46 times, let alone 4,600 times? Where's the FEC? Where's the FBI? This is obviously campaign finance law violations and money laundering for some party. That makes sense, Aaron?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
There you go. All right, 10:14. What did I say? 10:13?
Yeah.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Not 1 minute over. 1 minute. You got something, Aaron, before?
Oh, I was just going to say with the small donations thing, too, is they try to hype their candidate with a bunch of small donations.
Oh, right.
Because
right.
It makes it look like they have more support.
Exactly. These are all grassroots donations.
Yeah.
No, they weren't. They were given by one donor.
Yep.
Scattered over 4,600 contributions. Aaron, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Did you get that Elon Musk thing?
Yes.
Show that real quick. You got to just give me. Yeah. Aaron,
I can't put myself on with it, but
can
I
you
can
talk over it?
Yep,
can everybody hear?
Yep.
Hit it.
So this is just something cool that Elon Musk just did. He just set up 100,000 NVIDIA GPUs. These are servers for it, basically a smart computer, like a massive AI computer. And the CEO of NVIDIA said that if anyone else were to have tried to set this up, it would have taken 4 years to set this up.
And he did it.
Elon Musk did it in 19 days.
that's the real world. Elon Musk is the real world. Everything else is propagandist, gaslit lies. Things can actually be done. Yes, he's far above average, but things can actually be done way better than everybody tells you that they can be. Rumble Rants tonight. Nitsua, $99, $20. Nude Monk, $20. Order in the Court, $20. Swifty Shooter, $96, $20. The one and only Tammy L. Margaret every night in the Rumble Rants, $10. Gianna Jones, $10. I know all these names. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Real short post game tonight. Short, I think almost all positive. Really short. Stick around for it. I'll be in the chat for a couple minutes during the post game because the post game is only a couple minutes. Love you guys. Appreciate y'all. Finishing up tomorrow night for the week. Everyone needs to be in church on Sunday, either in person with us or come online, whatever it may be. But join us at Foundation Church this Sunday coming up. But tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, back here. Love you guys. God bless you. See you tomorrow night. What if it's a new thing if I tell you that you are supposed to prosper, that you are supposed to be wealthy? That's Psalm chapter 1, verse 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. The Word just told you that new thing. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. That new thing for you, that you need to receive it. Well, I believe that poverty is an attribute. No, Jesus became poor. And then they quote Jesus saying, he doesn't have a place to lay his head. He became poor for you. Not for you to emulate the poorness. That would be like you emulating sin. He became sin, so now you sin. He became poor, so now you're poor.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.